This week in the parish of Bourses and Market Structure, ASIC snaps, sues ASX. Will SEBI crush the Indian options market? TPI Cap look to US magic valuation bullet to list data division Parameta as ICE trolls LSE with a job ad. We have the first glint of Sapphire and a Tale of Two Cities podcast edition. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 258. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, The Unique Guide to the Bourse Business, sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. Incidentally, if you're looking for some video input this month, I know that IPO Vid is on holidays. You can catch a recording of my appearance on NYSE TV Live this week, discussing the traumatized Fed, the end of the Japanese yen carry trade, which I see may have just been resurrected like something akin to a Yorongomo, as well as Bitcoin pricing et al. Catch the link in the show notes or go to YouTube and look for NYSE TV Live. Meanwhile, in Parish notes that the podcast version of A Tale of Two Cities makes no mention of Paris, points to a sign of the digital financial times. Rather, we have a pair of interesting podcasts. First up, the Exit Interview podcast, where Jeff Sprecher chats to departing ICECOM czar Josh King, and by contrast, an eToro podcast featuring Alistair Haynes, who runs a London Stock Exchange, Aquis, but not the London Stock Exchange, or at least for now. That is, who receives the definitive article. It's a fascinating contrast, and frankly, I can think of many, if not 600 billion reasons, that's the number of NYSE executions per day, why I don't agree with my old friend Alistair, but hopefully he's right and I'm wrong on London having a stable medium-term future. At the ICE House, it's another Sprecherian tour de force as ICE executes excellence across the world. In London, ICE staff are just getting comfy with their new digs opposite the once dominant but now dwindling London Stock Exchange, which Alistair's Aquis may yet surpass, at least in the SME end of the battle versus AIM. In both cases, it's interesting listening from two of the parish's leading entrepreneurial minds. Over in BitCarnage, we're on summer holidays this week with BitCarnage per se, but from highlights that occurred before this podcast was reported, one labyrinthine stream of settlement has been successfully accomplished. New York judge has nodded a $12.7 billion settlement between FTX, Alameda, and CFTC. The CFTC is eager to note they played a key role here. CFTC obtains $12.7 billion judgment against FT and Alameda, goes their press release, which goes on to note, FTX used age-old tactics to create an illusion that it was a safe and secure place to access crypto markets, but the basic regulatory tools like governance, customer protections, and surveillance that exist to identify misconduct and ultimately prevent collapse were simply not there, said CFTC Chairman Rustin Benham. This reads brilliantly, but seems to miss out on the illusion creation element and left the CFTC chairman remarkably supine when FTX was liberally funding Democratic politicians, as we've noted before. True, it might be tough to say Benham supported FTX, but he looked dubiously acquiescent. And indeed, his conversations, as relayed by industry practitioners, demonstrate an industry which was nowhere near the tough, proactive stance on FTX, which is inferred by the CFTC press release. BitCarnage will be back next Monday, August the 19th, from its summer break. In the meantime, if you enjoyed this excerpt, you may be interested to read BitCarnage Every Day and Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update on happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, as a standalone, you can find BitCarnage on Substack. This week in exchanges, 24-177MR goes the release. ASIC sues ASX for alleged misleading statements. Finally, Australia's all too often somewhat supine in the face of monopoly pressure. Regulator ASIC has snapped and sued ASX, noting in its market communication, ASIC alleges statements made in ASX announcements on 10th February 2022 that the project remained on track for go live in April 2023 and was progressing well were misleading. ASX did not have any reasonable basis to imply the project was on track to meet future milestones. After the pathetic subminer traffic stop $1,050,000 fine in March, it seems ASIC has finally managed to do Lady Macbeth's classic exhortation to her husband about repoing his courage to the sticking place. As ASIC notes, it was a bare 6 weeks between this last round of "Struth, mate, it's all kishty, kosher, safe as houses," possibly with an Australian accent instead, to "Whoops, it's a bit late," which then evolved into the newer admitted "It's a total fiasco and we've waited a quarter billion and getting nowhere." No need for an accent there. The point is to emphasise the fact that ASX has totally failed. EI has championed reform at ASX since it began 11 years ago. The exchange was in monopoly milker decline before then. The chairman and the board are untenable. The CEO ought to go too and take a huge swathe of the C-suite with her. ASX needs a ground-up rebuild. Meanwhile, Kazakhstan Stock Exchange, KZ's clearing centre, have signed an agreement with ADX, the Abu Dhabi exchange, to join the Tadabul hub, another good development from KZ as it drives the international profile of the Kazakhstan Stock Exchange. NASDAQ is considering stricter delisting rules for penny stocks, as one market observer commented this week. It makes sense. STX will represent the broader view and mass review group, according to the CEO, reported in the Business Times. We live in hope, but frankly, STX is not exactly renowned for its diversity of thought, and STX needs a turnaround, a diversification, a new approach, and that doesn't seem to be present right now. Meanwhile, in Brazil, Betfair has opened vacancies for the Brazilian sports betting and online gaming market. A Betfair exchange in Brazil would appear to be looming in sports and political markets. Results this week. It was a busy week for results in the parish. All the details were in Exchange Invest Daily, the newsletter no person can afford to be without in capital markets and market structure. For the sake of this podcast, some very edited highlights. NSE India was the week's star turn in results term with a 39% Q1 profit leap. All the rest of the results were in Exchange Invest Daily this week with the added pith of insight from PLY. That's me, the publisher of this fine august journal, Exchange Invest, which is the exchange of information all about the business of bourses and yours for only $375 per user per year. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, Patrick at derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome wherever you find this podcast. In new markets, Miami International Holdings have announced the successful launch of their new MIAX Sapphire Options Exchange. It's Sapphire Agogo, with MIAX making a total of 18 US equity trading venues regulated by the SEC. Meanwhile, in Africa, there's an October start date set for the Ethiopian Securities Exchange, which, and I'm getting ahead of the podcast narrative here, will announce its technology information. Well, it has announced the technology information, but we'll bring you in on the deal in just a couple of moments' time. In deals, quite a busy week for deals in the parish. All of those were in Exchange Invest Daily. Again, the newsletter no person can afford to be without in capital markets and market structure. This week, TMX Group announced the acquisition of Newsfile Corp. We had all the details in Exchange Invest. The Argentine stock exchanges are inching closer to inking their merger agreement. And interestingly, Dubai-based non-resident Indian businessman Siddharth Balachandran has increased his stake significantly in India's two largest stock exchanges, making him the single largest individual shareholder in BSE, with 3.7% of the equity, and amongst the largest in NSE, with 0.35% of the stock holding. Exchange Invest, meanwhile, is proud to have launched a special edition inspired by my visit to ring the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange July 5th, 2024. My original bestseller, Capital Market Revolution, that was written by me, Patrick L. Young, was the first breakthrough book in fintech a decade before that word held common currency. It has, in the 25th anniversary Capital Market Revolution edition, 10,000 new words of additional pith, placing the last quarter century in perspective, and is available in a Kindle version right now via Amazon at a ludicrously reasonable price of $9.99, a quarter the price of the original shorter print book a quarter century ago. You can get that via our good friends at Amazon.com. Capital Market Revolution, 25th Anniversary Edition, The Future of the Market in an Online World. Meanwhile, don't forget you can still check in the live stream highlights from throughout the course of the year, as well as our short videos, which you can find via Instagram and TikTok, as well as, of course, our longer videos, which are available. All of the archives are on YouTube. Just go search for IPO-Vid. That brings us elegantly to our Finance Book of the Week, Forecasting Financial Markets, The Psychology of Successful Investing by Tony Plummer, provides the most readable book in the technical analysis canon with interesting discussion of cycles, patterns of economic and financial activity, and how to use cycles as a forecasting tool. In products, worries that the latest SEBI edict, their new proposed futures and options rules, could hit the stock exchange and brokers and crater volume by 30-40%. Over at SIBO, while SIBO Plan VIX options and the new bond VIX, VIX TLT, is now being calculated, there are concerns being raised by, amongst others, former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers concerning the early August surge in the VIX when Japan induced a modicum of short-lived panic on Wall Street. In technology news this week, as I trailed earlier, ESX Ethiopia have signed Infotech as a vendor. Interesting news, the Ethiopian Stock Exchange signing a vendor agreement with Infotech of India. Yet, their core systems are due to be launched as soon as October. That's barely 12 weeks away. CareerPass this week. This may be the first time I've seen a job ad which amounts to also being investment-grade trolling. For those not aware, ICE has left its long-standing London HQ in Chisel Street near Moorgate towards St Paul's, where the new ICE UK headquarters overlooks the LSEG. Thus, NICE have decided to employ a director of listings, aka person with the best IPO pickup line in London. List with me, I'm from the USA, land of the free, home of risk capital and better valuations, as also commonly reprised by NASDAQ from their offices near Guildhall. The lure of being able to see everybody who goes through the front door of the LSE is just fabulous, where JP himself had Morgan's positioned their front door opposite the trader's entrance to the NYSE on Wall Street, thus allowing low latency sprinting from the ground floor telegraph room to the market floor. I have no doubt NYSE's London outpost will resemble something out of Mission Impossible, with CCTV scanning facial recognition databases of company directors heading into the once invincible LSE. Or perhaps not. But Reuters always did paranoid better than even most vendors, so it will cross somebody's mind at the water cooler the other side of Paternoster Square sooner or later. ICE is watching us. The serious bottom line, New York is coming for London's listing in a duopoly pincer movement, and the country club will win the juicy stuff, unless or until London remembers how to do risk. Congratulations to Mark Wetchin, the one-time CFTC commissioner, who frankly left FTX looking like a busted flush as it went bust. I have no idea when Dentons took him on as a partner, but they did. Redemption for him, clearly. The COO of NPCI, National Payments Corporation of India, will run India's leading COMEX, that's the multi-commodity exchange of India, MCX, as it gets to grips with the next generation, fully divorced from the Jignesh Shah legacy. Over in Big World, I hope readers who enjoyed the pageantry of Paris 2024 are recovering. The games are now closed, although I feel it's most unfair that just as traditionally there has been a march of mass participants ahead of the games, would it not be fitting to have a mass march at the close of all of those lawyers who have so diligently protested, defended all manner of alleged incursions, misunderstandings, sampling factors and more throughout the Olympics? Then again, one might argue for the closing ceremony for counsel to be held after the time all the appeals have been heard, I suppose. Anyway, am I alone in being disappointed that while the first Paris Games in 1900, Paris also hosted in 1924, incidentally, included firefighting, this was not included in 2024. At least there will be baseball and cricket in LA's 2028 Games. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this ExchangeVest Weekly Podcast 258. Join us daily via ExchangeVest.com, or if you have a new exchange you would like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you all a great week in life and markets. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations.
Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.